Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 155. I'm your host, John Jordan. Don't forget to check out my daily email about blockchain gaming. You can find that at gamestx.substack.com. In this episode, I am talking to John Linden, who is the co-founder and CEO at Mythical Games. I've known John for many years now. He started coming to blockchain game conferences roughly the same time as I did, 2018. And I've followed Mythical Games pretty extensively since then. I think you'll find from our conversation we get into a lot of detail about what Mythical Games has been up to. Notably, we talk about its decision last year to move to Polkadot as its main blockchain infrastructure. We talk more generally as well around the games that it has launching and launched. So NFL Rivals launched summer of 2023 through the app stores. We talk quite a lot about how Mythical Games is looking at app stores, how it is dealing with app stores, notably Apple and Google, and how it expects app stores to be an important part of its future. Notably, with NFL Rivals, which is launched, and other games. So we have Nitro Nations World Tour currently in soft launch. And also we have Blanco's Mobile. So that's the reworking of the Blanco's Block Party game that I spent a lot of time looking at over the last couple of years as well. So a really interesting conversation. Me and John don't agree about everything. We have a really good sort of back and forth on occasion. So I hope you enjoy the depth we go into in this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, of course. Every week we are talking to people building out the blockchain game sector. So I hope you are enjoying that. But on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Very pleased today that I have a John Linden, CEO of Mythical Games. How's it going, John?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, John.
Good, good. It has been a while, over 2 years since we had you on. Some things have changed in the space since then. So well overdue. And I guess Mythical, in particular, has been very, very busy in 2023, building the bear, as we sort of said. So there's loads of stuff to talk about. Very briefly, I'm just going to cover that, but then I'm going to dive into what I want to dive into to begin with. So three big products that have been in various stages during 2023. So NFL Rivals, I guess the sort of main sort of game in terms of release at the moment. Nitro Nation World Tour, a bit further back, and then Blanco's Block Party, the PC game, now being reimagined as Blanco's Mobile. So I'm interested in talking about all of those. But I thought I would maybe start off. I've always been quite interested in sort of Mythical's take on blockchain. And you started off, I think, back in the day, you had your own blockchain based on EOS, and you sort of gradually sort of decentralized that over time. And then last year, you announced you were going to sort of focus on Polkadot as your sort of ongoing platform in the future. So I don't know how far you're along with that, but you obviously have the Mythos chain now, and there's a whole bunch of process going on about that. But so I wondered if you could maybe kick us off by sort of talking us through how you've thought about the blockchain infrastructure layer as Mythical over the years. Obviously, you started in sort of 2018, 2019, and how you sort of ended up with Polkadot as your sort of what you're thinking of now.
Yeah, happy to go through it. We've seen a lot, and you've seen a lot along with it, and you've been there since along for the ride. So, one, we always appreciate you for that. But it's, you know, I think it's really interesting. I think there's a couple things. One, from a technology stack that shifted, but also I think more importantly from kind of governance stacks, security stacks, all that shifted as well. And you know, I think what's really interesting is we've seen a lot. And I think the core difference is, you know, when we were in 2018, 2019, I really thought, John, that the blockchain itself was going to be the secret sauce for us, right? We were investing a lot behind it. We felt like, oh, it's something we have to control, we have to really own. And I think what we're seeing now is that's not really the secret sauce. The secret sauce is what you do on top of it, right? It's how you interact with the consumers. It's how easy is it for them to use? And frankly, what you can do with it, you know? And I think that shifted our thoughts a little bit. You know, so we started off in EOS.io, right, back in the day. Yeah. We moved over to kind of an EVM chain. It was really more of a side chain. And what we started seeing is that we had kind of this, you know, we have a lot of activity. You know, we have nearly 700,000 active wallets or something like that on our side chain. And we didn't really want to be in the chain business. That's not our goal. So we kind of decided, you know what, let's pick a home and pick a home that we really believe in, not necessarily from hype, not from marketing, not from all that, but really, truly, what is the right play for an ecosystem that could last the next decade or longer, right? And you know, we started getting connected with a lot of different groups. And I think, you know, one thing I find amusing a little bit in the blockchain gaming space is there's always a, this is the gaming blockchain, this is going to be it, you know, and it's shifted a lot, you know, it's gone from like, I think even EOS back in the day with Wax, you know, was on it. Yep. That was going to be the gaming blockchain. Then it was Ethereum mainnet. Then it was Polygon. Now it seems to be Solana is the fan favorite. But fundamentally, a lot hasn't really changed. And I think that's what we took that time with what we started with the Mythos ecosystem, right? And we have a lot of great companies there. And we really wanted to have a chain that really had the right governance, security, but really more importantly, a full decentralization stack, right? And honestly, I think we found it with Polkadot. I'm actually surprised more people don't talk about it. There's even times I'll talk to people about Polkadot and they kind of laugh a little bit, like, really? But I think fundamentally, I don't care about the marketing hype. Polkadot is kind of notoriously bad at marketing, I'd say, and I don't mean to slam them, but they're not. That's not their strength. And frankly, we've gotten to spend a lot of time with Parity. We've got to spend a lot of time with Web3. And I think where their mentality is always about the fundamentals, governance, security, decentralization. And that, I love that. I love that that's where they spend their time. That's where they spend their effort. It's not about the marketing flash and new airdrops and coins that might not turn into anything. It's really about the fundamentals. And we love that. And we are working very closely with them to kind of bring out it's not really Mythical. It's not really bringing out anything. It's really Mythos now. It's now bringing out its own chain. And we're helping support that. So we'll be, you know, the first set of dApps kind of on that new chain. But it's a fully decentralized full L1, essentially, backed by the Myth token, which we're really excited by.
Can you, talk a little bit about, you're going through a process, I guess, like lots of people in blockchain have, where you have a sort of a commercial, well-funded by VC entity that's making games, Mythical Games is the sort of US entity, and now you have the Mythos Foundation, which is obviously, you know, you guys have sort of started it and kickstarted it, but and there's an idea of how governance changes and how control changes over the years. That's quite a hard thing. Everyone's looking at that, but that's quite a hard thing to actually handle, I think.
I think we're close now, which is exciting. You know, we put a lot of effort into really understanding it, and I think again our contribution was to try and help get it off the ground and then step away. And I think 2024 is the year we step away, which is fantastic, right? It's really like, it's going to be self-sufficient very soon here. It's going to be running its own thing. Mythical will be obviously a contributor, but it's really, we are almost there and kind of in that point now that it can kind of take a life of its own. And I think what we found is that, I think, frankly, this partner in Polkadot, I think is really the catalyst to get us there. So we're pretty excited by it. I think you'll see a whole lot of announcements this year about what comes out of Mythos. Again, it's its own beast at this point, and we're excited to see what happens as it grows.
Mm-hmm. And you sort of, in retrospect, no one sort of times it right, but you sort of have ended up sort of timing it right that you're sort of, lots of people are sort of announcing stuff now, and this is going to be happening in the next 2 years, and you sort of, or at least sort of, I guess, you know, I don't know, eight, nine months sort of in, you announced that stuff 8-9 months ago. So you're sort of like gearing up into actual stuff that's happening, which is sort of quite nice timing as the market comes back.
I'm pretty excited by that. I mean, I think that's the beautiful thing. I hope that the market eventually decides, you know, the best gaming chains are the ones being used rather than the ones being promoted. Right. And I think that's what we can contribute. You know, again, we have close to 700,000 active wallets already on 4 million player accounts. So we're seeing a really healthy growth. We see thousands and thousands of brand new wallets created every day from the players of these games. And I think, again, we have three games, I think, that are going to see tremendous growth this year. It's nice this year for 2024. Mythical will have, you know, games around 24/7, right, which is great. Last year, you know, we had Blankos on PC. We were kind of retooling that anyway. And so, we had that game out all last year, but it was really – more minimal focus as we were trying to kind of figure out how do we take that to the next level. And then NFL and Nitro kind of kicked off towards the end of the year. So this year we're going to see, I think, a lot of good growth from all 12 months of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Just you've mentioned it a couple of times now, a lot of wallets. It is an interesting thing, and I would like to sort of unpick it a little bit. So most of the activity on the Mythos chain at the moment is D-Market, which is effectively, correct me if I'm wrong, CSGO sort of skins trading. It's sort of like a legacy skins business that's been brought to blockchain. So D-Market was something you bought. So clearly that was sort of in the plan, was to bring that sort of market into blockchain. So
yeah. So I think
thinking there.
So I a couple things. One, D-Market. Actually, hold on. Sorry, I'm trying to get my camera out of focus here. I'm not sure what's happening there. There we go. So DMarket is, it was a tech company we acquired. And I think what we loved about that company is they've had a decade of experience kind of trading digital assets. They had kind of flirted with the blockchain space a little bit. They hadn't really done a whole lot with it, but they really understood things about consumer liquidity. They understood trading patterns. They understood, some really core tech. And I'd love to talk a little bit about that. We've taken some of that tech and really introduced it. And when we acquired them, we basically said, hey, we're not necessarily supporting DMarket. DMarket was kind of a general skin trading business. That wasn't our focus. We wanted to move it over. It's kind of our test network. We've seen some really interesting features. I'd love to talk about one called Quick Trades recently, that we just recently launched on NFL as well. But for us, it was really about the team and the expertise. And we used that team to basically build the Mythical Marketplace, which is completely built on chain. And you kind of mentioned, yes, the transaction volume, it's hard to stop some of that just because it keeps growing, which is great. But out of the wallets, honestly, out of the new chain, out of probably 700,000 wallets, I'd say 550 of them probably are NFL, So a majority of the wallets, even though not a majority of the transactions still. So it's a little bit different beast, a lot of volume from a, smaller amount of people, a couple hundred thousand people. On DMarket, they trade a lot, and that's great. But I think what you're going to see there this year is you'll see it shift heavily. So last year was very heavily in DMarket's favor. This year, I think you'll see very heavily in the Mythical Market direction.
Cool. So we're going to talk about the three games that you've got going on. But before we get on there, and it will probably bleed a little bit into NFL Rivals, clearly the interesting thing now is all those games are mobile games. And they are mobile games that will be delivered through app stores. So, there's been this, as we've spoken about it for, years and years and years, about sort of the different platforms. And while other people are sort of looking at mobile, and obviously Axie has gone through mobile, to me, it seems like, you are the guys who are most aggressively doing that. Obviously, there are still restrictions on what you can do. And some people say, we're not going to go on mobile because, we can't control, how we want to put blockchain in there. So why are you so bullish on going through app stores, which is
That's a great question. I mean, one, that's where the players are. I think that's that's the first one, right? Is that if you want to get mass market players, you go where mass market players are at. I think for us, I've been in the game industry for a long time. PC, you can have all type of religious wars around PC, console, or mobile, right? And I think there's definitely, everybody's playing in all of them now, which is great. I wouldn't say we're going to be focused just on mobile. I just say right now we've seen a lot of growth in mobile. We've been able to kind of execute some really, really strong partnerships with, I don't want to use the word partnership, relationships, let's say, with Apple and Google. And we've been able to work with them very closely to expand that vision of what can be done and what these economies look like. So we love that. To be real honest with you, I'll be super frank with you. One of the big areas we're in mobile is because we really struggled on PC with Blancos. I think we had maybe the biggest or second biggest game on Web3 gaming on PC, with Blanca, is about 1.5 million players, but it got really, really expensive. And we started having really challenges going from 1.5 million to 2 million. And we want that game to get in the hands of, tens and tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of players. Meanwhile, you see games like Stumble Guys, that has 300 million installs, right? So it's an order of magnitude, or almost a couple orders of magnitude bigger in that market. So I'd say we kind of shifted to mobile just because it was an area we could kind of grow profitably rather than PC. We're definitely not ruling out PC. In fact, we're talking to a lot of PC games right now that we'd love to move over. The tech works in both. We started an Epic Games Store. We didn't quite see the traction that we wanted. So mobile's been a focus kind of out of necessity on where the players are at.
And I guess it depends slightly on the product as well. So clearly for NFL Rivals and NFL Rivals has been built for mobile. Nitro Nation is a mobile franchise. It's coming to Web3, and obviously Blancos you tried on PC and is going to mobile. So that's not to say, there's certain games that you would, probably not want to put on mobile if they're very complex PC games. So I guess it plays into that. So NFL Rivals, that's been sort of the big game you've had out this last year. So as it sounds like, fully licensed American football game, sort of gameplay is sort of cut down. You're just playing offense and sort of fast games as you expect for mobile. But what's been interesting there is, from a sort of player's point of view, is you launched it in soft launch, and then as you've done sort of new updates, it basically launched with no blockchain at all, and then sort of quite significant extra bits of blockchain are coming in. So is that something you expect to sort of continue in 2024? How do you, is that, are you sort of having to sort of, you know, talk to Apple and Google about the stuff you're doing? Because you started off, you know, without you could buy NFTs on the web marketplace, and they would show up in your game. And now the next update you've said is you're going to be able to sell. I could be wrong, but you'll be able to sell your NFTs in the app, which is, I mean, that's quite a big change from where you started out. So
it
how's
is,
that
yeah.
process going?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good. And we approached it with Apple and Google as kind of a multi-step approach, right? And I think, you know, they're very, you know, it's new to them. This is a new thing to them. And they want to make sure they understood it and they understood kind of the effect, you know, and they, you know, they have very real concerns on their end. Like, wait a second, if you let players buy from each other, are you cannibalizing revenue that we're going to see, right? And those are very fair points, I think, that they made. So we kind of broken up into three phases. We just launched phase two in December, which was great. So phase one was kind of getting some initial recommendation engines you could buy, you can enhance. How do we use a virtual currency? How does Google and Apple play in that ecosystem, right? All that stuff was kind of in phase one. We saw great results. Frankly, we kind of killed them with data a little bit. you know, we found some great data points. I mean, one thing we found that they loved is that a lot of players, actually their first purchase ever was a secondary transaction. You know, a lot of times I might just want to buy a common. You know, John, you might have a common you don't want anymore. And I might not have anything yet. And I might buy that common from you for 50 cents or $2 or $3. But one thing we found is by doing that, we actually did a lot of kind of multivariate testing. We found one, there was really no effect on primary sales, which was great. But more importantly, what we found is 50%, literally half of the players that bought something first in the secondary came back and bought a primary asset in the app store. So Apple and them loved it because they're like, okay, you're actually increasing sales because you're introducing kind of a gateway purchase into what becomes a more permanent buyer. So we provided a lot of data like that to them. They got very comfortable. They allowed us to do kind of a full marketplace. It's still on the buy side right now, but now we have everything in there. We saw nearly 100% growth when we went to that phase. And then phase three, I'd say there's probably two more phases. One is the selling gets a little bit more, you know, tricky, and we're working through those details, and we'll have that out, you know, fairly soon. And then the fourth one is a feature we call quick trades. And quick trades is really, really exciting. And I love to, if you don't mind, I'd love to tell you like 2 minutes of what we've seen
there.
We started quick trades on DMarket, and again, kind of a test on DMarket. And quick trades for us, I think, is kind of the ultimate experience between gaming and Web3. And what I mean is that gamers are pretty used to doing things like, I mean, even back in the EverQuest days, right? You walk up to somebody in the game, I'll give you these two items and you give me these three, right? And it's this natural kind of peer-to-peer feeling system. I want this and I'm giving you this. And Web3 doesn't necessarily lend itself super well to that, right? You're either like looking at bids and asks and offers and stuff like that. But what we found is that we started off with kind of bids and asks. Then we added offers, right? So I don't want to pay $450 for Patrick Mahomes. I'll give you a $375 or anybody that wants to do it. And we started building up a big inventory of buyers and sellers that are kind of looking for deals. And now we have a new feature called Quick Trades. And we just launched it last month on the web. We'll be bringing it into the game possibly as early as next month. We're working through the details. But basically what happens is this. I come in, I have an inventory panel, right? On the left side, I say, I want Patrick Mahomes. It says, cool, Patrick Mahomes right now is priced at $450. So the options I've had in the past is I put in a credit card or I put in crypto and I buy Patrick Mahomes for $450. Or I can make an offer and hopefully somebody fulfills my offer. But with Quick Trades now, I put Mahomes on the left side. And then my right side of my panel opens up with all of my inventory, all my sellable assets. They're all being priced in real time. And now I can pick a series of assets. Maybe I pick four or five assets that total $450. And now I can hit an exchange button. So now I received Patrick Mahomes and I gave away five assets. So great. That feels like a very game centric type feature. Behind the scenes, what's really exciting is that, you know, there essentially we bought one asset real time and sold five assets in real time. So there's actually for the game developer, there's actually a series of transactions that happen on a cashless transaction. So that's probably my favorite feature that we've done at Mythical. It's just getting started. We saw it now makes up about 80% of DMarket's volume since we offered in early 2023. And it's already becoming a sizable portion of NFL Rivals, even though it's on the web. I think once we get that in game itself, I think it's going to be a majority of all transaction volume. So we've kind of patented that process, working to kind of enhance it. And I think it's a perfect combination of how you really get gamers that understand trading to interact in a Web3 environment so everybody wins.
But presumably to get that, are you sort of, obviously you have to work in the real-time price in the Myth token. And so you are doing it's not tokenless in the background, but it's just to the players. It's just
players, it's very tokenless to the Web3 economy. I mean, you could have if I was buying two items and selling five, you could have seven different parties involved, right? And to me, that's kind of the beautiful thing about blockchain is you can have multi-party transactions all happening through smart contracts in real time. But to the player, I got rid of something I didn't want, and I got something I did want, right?
No.
And go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's really good. As you sort of, I guess, it's been sort of, I think, an ethos for Mythical all the way through is make it sort of give the player what they want, which is sort of ownership of items, and how that sort of happens doesn't really matter. But obviously how that happens is actually quite complex, and you spent the last 5 years working out, how to make that work. But that's providing liquidity, and that's sitting on all the tech, and there's all the other things that are sort of quite interesting around that from the blockchain point of view as well. So,
I think that's something you do in gaming, right? I think the best gaming companies in the world take what appears to be very simple processes to the consumer, they're very complicated in the back end, right? So I feel like that's kind of been our contribution for sure this year, in the last 12 months, and we're really excited. And it expands from there. I mean, at some point, I could say, hey, I want Patrick Mahomes and NFL rivals, but I'm going to give up a Blanco and I'm going to give up a Nitro Nation car. You can now start trading across ecosystems. And not only that, all the ecosystems benefit, right? So now, whoever's building Nitro, whoever's building, it could be anybody, Yuga, it could be, anybody out there. Alluvium could be part of it. And suddenly now I'm receiving part of that transaction fee, and the consumers are just happy they're moving items between games that they want. So. Yeah.
And it's a nice thing because it sort of gets around the whole, if you have an NFT, you're sort of like, well, it's worth sort of, you're at the moment, because you're having to do it in a financial mindset, then you're thinking you're very financially mindset driven about price. Whereas as you're sort of describing it there, particularly when you go across game, you're sort of like, I've got this asset in the game, don't really care about that anymore, I'm not playing it that much. But there's this hot new game I'm into. And then then that's really providing, the going back to your original analogy of secret sauce, that sort of, the ideal thing for gamers, wouldn't it, to swap stuff between their games?
I think we're now, what's really exciting is now we're talking to a lot of Web2 companies, and they're like, well, we'd like to put our assets in there too, right? Like, let us be part of it, right? And it allows game developers to move assets, obviously, within a game, but it also starts letting them move across games, and it starts letting anybody trade between any game. Mm. And I think that, to me, is the power of what Web3 becomes. And to the gamer, it's just a simple mechanic, right? It's just like, I want this and I don't want this, And I think that's where the real power comes. And frankly, it also opens up, we get told a lot. I mean, we have people that just trade assets, right? That's what they want to do. And sure, they can benefit as well. But you start creating this kind of global economy that everybody can be part of, the creators, the traders, the gamers themselves, everybody kind of becomes part of this really interesting ecosystem. So I'd say I'm more bullish than I've ever been. I think, we have spent a lot of time on the tech and I think we're at a point now that's, we're going to be able to onboard a lot of games, and there's a real, real network effect when you start doing that with this type of trading economy.
Yeah. No, exactly. Because at the moment, I think lots of sort of blockchain games are looking for blockchains with sort of players on, which obviously you've put some numbers out there, you have sort of wallets already, but then the actual to have that and liquidity, because often you sort of have players and maybe not a lot of liquidity, but people looking to extract stuff, but the liquidity sort of pies is important. Okay, so let's move on to Nitro Nation World Tour. So that one's that's also been out, I don't know, like, seems like soft launch was about 6 months. I'm not quite sure, but it seems like a bit of a slower pace on that one. So what can you say about that? So drag racing game from CM Games out of Estonia, really, really great team. All the usual sort of fully licensed cars, drag racing. That's the background.
Yeah. So again, that game's in soft launch right now. I'd say we're effectively acting as the tech partner and somewhat the publisher, right? So we're publishing the game for them. They're the developer, though. So obviously, it's a little bit of a different step than we had. We don't have control fully over that game, right? It's just we're kind of a partner with them. A little bit slower, but I think it's getting really strong. I think for us, we're kind of viewing that game as all honest, like we would in a Web2 world, right? To really, really make that game sing, you need to have certain APIs, right? Around retention, around monetization, around all, ROAS, all these types of things. Yeah. And we've been working with that team to get it in a place that we can really start scaling it. I will say that I think we're I think we're only one release away from really probably hitting that, and then we're going to hit that game hard. So it's a great economy behind it. You know, it's a new team that hadn't really done a whole lot in Web3 before, so they've just taken a few things to get used to. And in addition, I think they built a really beautiful game. So, yeah, we're really excited about that one for 2024. I think we'll start seeing a lot of growth. I think there's now like nearly 200 cars licensed now, which is exciting. So there's going to be, you know, we did a Deadmau5 car event already. I think there's a Lamborghini event going on right now. So we're getting that game prepped, and I think that's going to be a huge game. Now, CM Games has a lot of experience around this genre. You know, they had nearly 100 million players in their last game. So we want to get it right. And I think we're very close. So a little bit longer in soft launch there. It's coming together nicely.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's sort of one of the struggles with Web3 games, sort of even now. You thought we would have learned it, is some people still seem to think, maybe now, particularly in the current market, that having a game with blockchain items is sort of magically makes a not very good game sort of somehow work. And, you know, as you were saying there, you actually, you know, you need to know your retention. You need to know what, you know, how long people are playing it for, how much they're spending, what sort of ways they're playing it, you know, and until you get that to a level, then there's no point marketing it really, because it's just
people
come in straight out again. I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that in the Web3 gaming space. I think there's and I kind of mentioned this with you a long time ago too, that it's tough to make a game. It's harder to make a game you actually ship, and it's even harder to make a game you ship and can succeed at it. So I think a lot of people are starting to catch up. You know, it's a lot different to put out a trailer and actually get a game out the door. Web3 actually makes it a little harder, to be real honest, because now you have additional factors in that economy that you don't necessarily have control over, right? And you have to really think about the balance. And I think, you know, I think we're seeing that. You know, I think people will make mistakes, but it's just going to take a lot of people going through it. But I think what's great for us is that we're seeing this multiple times. We've seen some early mechanics and things that worked with Blankos on PC that we're now bringing into the mobile version. We've seen the things that didn't work, right? We saw user acquisition was very tough, right? So that's one of the reasons we made that decision. But everything, what's beautiful about Web3 is everything comes along. Every single Blanko will not be sold again, right?
Yeah.
It'll come into the new game. The people that bought it early will be sitting on, you know, some items that are going to be very rare. And if suddenly now Blanko's mobile can get to 25, 30 million players, that's even more rare, right? So so we're excited on where that goes. NFL was really, you know, frankly, John, I wish we had the NFL game we have today in January. I wish we had launched that game back in August, because I think we'd have even an order of magnitude players in it. So obviously we're kind of gearing up for what 24-25 season is going to be, and working with the NFL and the Players Association on that. So, you know, you learn, and we've been learning, but I think the playbook's getting stronger with each game. And I think, you know, when we bring out Blanko's Mobile, it's going to be a very, very strong game, or we bring out another sports title or something like that in the future, right?
Yeah. So let's just dig a bit into Blanko. So I spent a lot of time in Blankos, have far too many Blankos. Yes.
and, OG.
Oh, boy. Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, Blanko's Mobile, I mean, I'm not sure the exact terms you're using, sort of reinvention or you know, how obviously there was, it was a, as you say, it was, had a very stumble guys sort of aspect to it. It sort of had, you know, you own these little characters, and it had all these drops, and you could customize them and just run around and have fun. And then you had these mini games you would play as well. So are we, I guess fundamentally that was the concept, and that concept is still there. As you say, all the Blankos that are currently live on the original chain are all going to be brought to the Mythos chain. But I guess equally, you know, you have opportunity to reimagine something, reinvent something. So what new stuff sort of goes in there? And I guess does the UGC stuff, which was sort of a part of the original PC game, does that sort of come out now? Because that was sort of like a more of a PC thing than a mobile thing.
So we haven't revealed too much, but I'll reveal. So here's what I could say. The gameplay, you know, we want to build an experience that's native mobile first. We do have plans to kind of bring that back to PC, right? So it's kind of like reinvent it for kind of mobile, bring it back to PC. You know, we tried to go the other way. We tried to take the original PC game and reinvent it for mobile, and that was a tougher thing to do. Developers have a tendency to kind of build to the platform. So we kind of, when we retooled this, we built this game from scratch, essentially, and really made it kind of mobile first that can be eventually extended out to PC. UGC is something we've definitely been considering. I think it was a big part of Blanko's. It won't be there day one. I'd say it's going to be very curated day one, but there's definitely plans to bring that back too. I think that's a very key thing. You know, we love the creator economy. You know, I want to go much further. You know, we had a couple community-driven Blancos and branded Blancos and all that type of stuff. That was a really exciting part of that game. And we want to extend that even heavier. But we also want to make sure the core loop is there. There'll be a couple things that'll probably be a little disappointing for people, you know, that are kind of hardcore. We're pulling back and shooting initially. We're really focused on some of the other game modes that we think drive a better economy. But I think there's also going to be a lot of differences too, you know. And we're not quite ready to share that because we're still tuning it. But a lot different in the economy, a lot different in the power and skill systems. To where it's not just buy a Blanco and you're done. It's going to be, you know, a lot of different combinations and what you do with it and how you play it and how you upgrade it. Yeah. Okay. So.
And you sort of did have that. I mean, that was in the original PC game that you were, you know, especially with the, without going too much into Blancos, where you could mash up different up the Blancos. So that was quite. I mean, that was quite. I mean, I did a few of those. That was quite hardcore grinding to get them to the level you needed to mash.
Yeah, especially with the gym rushes. I think maybe we were a little too aggressive with gym rushes for sure. But I think those concepts were fun, and I think we learned a lot, and I think we can hone it now for a bigger audience. You know, and I think our goal on Blancos Mobile, you know, we want that game to be, you know, 25 to 100 million players, right? Which is a very different game than hundreds of thousands or single million players, you know.
And it just is like, just because the characters are just so sort of good, and obviously obviously you had all the branding in there, and that you can just see if that game sort of captures the imagination, that there's a lot that can happen.
There's a lot
that game is, that game is so wide, you can take it lots of different ways with the
players. You know, the funniest one that we got requested all the time was physical toys and things like that, and we made a few of them. I think you can see them. I have a Boss Dino behind me here. That's one thing we'd love to do. And the problem is we just didn't have the economy of scale with that player base on PC to really pull off those things we wanted to do with the IP. So we're really hoping Blancos Mobile kind of builds a bigger universe for Blancos and things we can do with it. But I think the experiments just get started. You know, we've talked about digital, physical to digital. I think if you start getting into a community of, you know, 25 to 50 million players, you can really start doing projects like that, and that's what I'm hoping comes out of Blancos Mobile down the road. But I think we can push Web3 further. You know, I mean, we did some physical things with like South by Southwest cards and stuff like that. But I think we want to take that even further with a game. And I think we're hoping that basically kind of this reiteration of what that game could become will eventually do that for us.
Yeah, and I guess there is another. You know, last year, you know, the whole sort of, you know, Pudgy Penguins thing, which was basically a pretty random NFT collection, which wasn't that gorgeous, suddenly, you know, put a few hundred thousand in Walmart, and suddenly with like, you know, now one of the top NFT collections. So you can sort of see there is that demand. It is sort of quite Web3 to have that as well.
That's a project we talked to those guys quite a bit. We're excited on what they've done. I think they're probably, I would put them as one of the top projects in the world just because of what they've been able to do. I think they've innovated way more than anybody else. I think Luca, that team, they've really kind of pushed the envelope, and that's the projects we absolutely love. So we're always trying to figure out what to do with Pudgy and those other guys, and hopefully you'll see something down the road. So who knows?
Okay. Cool. And then sort of to finish off, because you've been around in the space, in the game space, for decades, and in blockchain for a long time as well. How do you sort of see the space now? Because I've always, rightly or wrongly, this may be my perception. You know, Mythical's always sort of taken a step back. You've never really sort of been very sort of crypto heavy in the way that some sort of companies are. You've always sort of, I think, had, because you know about games and you've always been very game focused, and you've not really wanted to talk about blockchain NFTs at all, really. How do you see the blockchain game space? How do you see the sort of the way it's interacting with the traditional game space, which obviously in the last couple of years has been sort of quite anti some people? Is that sort of stuff changing? Are we sort of even if not blockchain, our sort of blockchain type concepts now, do you think, becoming relevant to people who would never in their lives own Bitcoin, say?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One, I think what we've seen is that, it's still to this day, gamers are not necessarily crypto traders, right? And they're not financial traders, they're consumers. So we have to treat them like consumers and expand what they can do, right? So I think that's still, that doesn't shift at all. I think that what we are seeing is that gamers can pick up these concepts, right? And like I said, we now have, you know, you're not required. It's kind of a blockchain optional for pretty much all of our games. Yeah. But we're seeing more and more and more people interact and kind of learn it and understand it, which we love. So I think that's the first one we love. In terms of the Web3 gaming space in general, I still think we're pretty early. I think we're seeing, we're seeing a lot of, great trailers and good looking assets. You kind of see that in gaming in general, right? It's not too hard to put together a really beautiful, screenshot anymore. I mean, hell, you can even do it with AI now, right? So I think the real test will be which games can really break out into big economies that matter. And I think we're going to see several. I mean, I think there's some really good ones out there, and we'll see. I also think that in the Web 2 space, there's a big shift happening right now. And I think, frankly, NFL Rivals really helped that out, right? Because traditional game developers, they don't necessarily care about crypto, right? What they care about is what does it do to their economy, right? And we now have data to where it's like, hell, 20% plus of our net revenue from NFL Rivals comes from trading, right? And that means 20% of our revenue comes from nobody paying us anything, right?
Yeah.
They pay each other and we're still making 20% of the total game. Mm. That does matter to Web2 developers, right? They're like, wait a second, we can get 20% more money if we integrate kind of this tradable economy. Mm. That is what, and that data, now that we have real data on a sizable game, I'd say a lot of the Web2 companies are waking up to that. So not quite there yet. We're talking to a dozen of them at this point, but I think you'll start seeing some announcements of bigger studios starting to figure out how to do this, because it's a numbers thing, right? I mean, mobile was barely a 1% growth last year.
Yeah.
And anything that could contribute 20% additional revenue to a game economy is definitely worthy to watch. So that's the phase we're in right now, is we now have real data. And I think what we'll see is over the next 12 to 18 months, we'll start seeing bigger companies start really thinking about it. So
that's true. It's kind of funny. I think in the past we've had a discussion, maybe an argument, but you were always that blockchain was going to evolve games, and I was always blockchain's going to revolutionize the games. And maybe from our own point of view, we still think we're correct. But it is interesting that the way you win is not by sort of beating people over the head with concepts, is by just going, well, you make more money this way, and then very very hard in the business to argue.
I mean, especially in the year we had in gaming, right? 2023 was a rough year for game studios, right? A lot of layoffs, a lot of companies not being able to kind of get the bills paid. So I mean, 20% is definitely could be the difference between success and keeping your studio or not. That I think you'll see a lot more kind of look into it. So, I think it's here. I think it's permanent. I think it'll affect a lot of different games over time. And I think, like I said, we're still 18 to 24 months out from really seeing a lot of this model happen. But in fairness, I think we're seeing a lot of really interesting concepts come out of Web3 now. There's some really good IPs starting to build. Again, I think Pudgy is a great example. I think they've really done really interesting things in terms of like not just selling NFT collections. I think those days are over. Personally, there's still some that go out, but I think it's really how do they interact and how do they build? And I think people are now kind of understanding too that, it's not about $30,000 NFTs, right? That is not an economy I think that sustains for most projects, some sure, but it's how do you basically give a consumer a great opportunity to be part of it, right? So,
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time as ever, John. Fascinating stuff on a high concept on the detail as well. So that was really great.
No worries. Well, I'm happy to be back, and like I said, I'm looking forward to your comments along the way this year. So I always love your comments on what's happening in the industry. So thank you, John. Good.
Cool. Thanks to John for his time, and thanks to you guys for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Every episode, we're talking to the people who are building out this crazy new world. And for 2024, I'm trying to do a episode a week. So we'll see how I get on with that. So John, you are number 4, and I've got another one to do tomorrow. So January's covered. So we're doing well in January. So don't forget to subscribe and see what's going on. Thanks for watching, listening to this one, and see you next time.